Hello, everyone, and welcome to Plastic Surgery Insider. This is a new podcast directed at patients to guide the highest level of information in plastic surgery. My name is Sammy Sino, and I am joined by my fellow young plastic surgeons in training and good friends, Raj Shaw Martinez and Amanda Silva. We are resident ambassadors to the journal Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery, which is the premier source for cutting-edge information and education in plastic surgery. Today, we are honored to be joined by our special guest, Dr. Karen Horton. She's a plastic surgeon in San Francisco and is graciously joining us for this evening's discussion. Dr. Horton, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Well, we're most certainly honored. Before we get started, can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and your practice in plastic surgery?
You got it. So I've been in practice for almost 11 years in San Francisco. My practice is private practice. It's just me in the office, and I have a nurse practitioner who does all non-surgical cosmetic things like Botox, fillers, laser, CoolSculpting. I limit my practice to surgery. And when I joined this office, there was two other women plastic surgeons. All of us specialized in breast cancer reconstruction and cosmetic surgery, primarily for women, although I do treat men as well. Since that time, one of my associates has moved next door. She's doing her own thing now, mostly faces. And my other senior associate retired, and I took over the practice when I was pregnant with twins. So that was lots of changes at the same time. And right now, my practice focuses on probably up to 50% breast cancer reconstruction. I have a fellowship in reconstructive microsurgery from the Bunky Clinic, and so I'll do a DIEP flap or a tug flap, usually one a week. I do implant reconstruction, and I practice the subcutaneous technique, nipple sparing, which is definitely not the standard of care. So I have a lot of patients who come from all over the place to see me for that procedure, which doesn't involve any muscle, doesn't involve any alloderm. And we can talk about that, but the key to that is finding a really good breast surgeon. And then the other part of my practice specializes in mommy makeovers. I'm a mom of twins. My twins are five now. So I see a lot of fellow mothers who are looking to get their body back after they finish having surgery. The Bay Area is a really physically active area, and most people are really athletic. They're outside. They're body conscious, but the aesthetic in Northern California is very natural and conservative, and that tends to be what my aesthetic is as well. And then the men I see are often for body contouring, either post-weight loss or liposuction. So I have a really great practice. I'm not that involved with residents, although I love to teach, and it's so nice to give back to PRS and to the ASPS community in participating in podcasts like this, because I really love what I do. I love to be involved, but I'm not on faculty anywhere, so this is my way to give back to everyone. And originally, I'm born and raised in Toronto, been in San Francisco for just over 11 years, and here to stay. Love it here.
That's awesome. And just full disclosure, this is Raj. Thanks so much for joining us. The full disclosure part is I actually had the privilege of visiting Dr. Horton out in her office in San Francisco, and clearly you just really love your patients and they love you. And that was really sort of an enthusiastic aspect, because as residents, we don't often see too much of the private practice that, you know, we're sort of more focused on the academic side. And I think if that's okay with you, we were hoping to maybe focus in on and think really for patients in considering mommy makeovers.
Definitely.
Could you tell us a little bit more in your experience, what do you see if, you know, I'm a patient, I'm considering potentially getting something done. I think there's a lot of hurdles for patients. One is the cost, two, the time off. What do you find that makes the patient who's considering it, taking them into be the successful patient that gets the surgery and then comes out of it and recovers well? What characteristics, if I'm a patient considering it, would I have to maximize to be a good candidate?
Okay, so first of all, I think we need to define what is a mommy makeover. And I don't know who coined the term, but I want to give them a huge hug because it's an excellent marketing term. Really, it's 100% marketing. Basically, a mommy makeover can be anything that a mommy wants it to be. Traditionally, it was a combination of a breast surgery, either a breast augmentation, maybe a lift, maybe a reduction, together with either a tummy tuck or some body contouring surgery. But not every woman needs to have implants. Not every woman needs a tummy tuck. And I tell patients a mommy makeover is basically a way that you can, as a mom, justify to yourself and, you know, maybe to your spouse and your family members, you know what? It's okay for a mom to want to look and feel her best, to feel comfortable in her skin, to feel youthful and sexy, get her body back, because pregnancy does change your body in ways that you cannot control, and they're not always positive. But for some women, a mommy makeover could be, you know, facial and Botox. It could be a labiaplasty. It could be, you know, something that we haven't even mentioned. So really, it's a marketing term. But before any mother considers having a cosmetic procedure, number one, I always ask, have you finished having children? If the answer is no, then I say, well, you know, if you really want to get an uplift of your breast or, you know, contour your tummy, if you know you want to have other children soon, I would put off doing any body modifying procedure until you know that you're done having children. However, it's about quality of life. And say a woman comes in and she has very severely, you know, hypertrophic breasts, and she's a great candidate for breast reduction, and she's having a ton of back pain. She's had one child, and maybe she doesn't know she wants to have any more kids. It's about quality of life now, and it's okay to consider having a procedure if it's going to positively improve your quality of life. The one thing about breast surgery is that we do want to preserve the two functions of the breast, which are ability to breastfeed a baby in the future and erogenous sensation to the nipple. And I tell patients that's the most important thing you hear from me today if we're talking about breast surgery, and we will preserve those two functions to the best of our ability. There's never a guarantee, and you never know, one pregnancy to the next, one baby to the next, one breast to the other, whether you will be able to produce enough milk or whether the milk will get out. But we do want to preserve both of those abilities, and the techniques that I offer my patients give them the best possible chance to be successful with future breastfeeding. With regards to the tummy, most moms say they bounced back pretty well after their first pregnancy, but after that, they were kind of pre-stretched, and with subsequent pregnancies, it all kind of goes to hell. So I say with the tummy, if we're considering doing a tummy tuck or body contouring liposuction, wait until you finish having your pregnancies. Wait until your children are mobile, if as much as possible, you know, if they're in their toddler phase. Try to get them potty trained. Try to get them so that you don't have to pick them up every, you know, half an hour. And you should be as fit and active and healthy as you can before you have surgery. Your body should be a well-oiled machine. And I say, you know, think about like the half marathon I just ran, and I trained really hard. I did it. It wasn't fun. I actually didn't have a really good time when I was running because I was really tired and my sisters were passing me and I was like, oh my God. But if I had not trained, there's no way I could have done that. And your body should be used to being stressed in a healthy way. Get your heart rate up and your blood pressure up with exercise. Stress your muscles. Your body should be used to working harder than it needs to before surgery so that when you are recovering from surgery, your body's used to it, and you have natural endorphins circulating. So be as close as possible to your ideal weight before you have surgery.
Do you have a recommendation to Dr. Horton on how much time before surgery patients would maybe increase their workout regimen, or do you have them just do that as a lifestyle?
Yeah, so, you know, I'm a realist, and, you know, I'm a mom, and I don't exercise as much as I could if I was a Hollywood actress and had a personal trainer and didn't work as hard as I do, 12 hours a day. But, you know, at least get out, you know, get out, use your body, and it might just be, you know, run around the park with your kids and throw the ball or, you know, just do activities. If you're a couch potato and if you can honestly say, you know what, I'm not exercising and I just want you to come in and I just want you to fix this, I say, you know what? If you haven't done everything that you can do on your own first, I don't think it's appropriate to pass the baton to a plastic surgeon. Plastic surgery should be to take care of things that you can't do on your own. So it's the stubborn last little bit of fat. It's the stretch marks. It's the loose skin or the separation of your muscles or the breast deflation that you've had after having many children. That's what a mommy makeover can do, but in order to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what, I've done everything I can do, I can justify having surgery, I say, give it your all. And I don't really have a particular, you know, regimen to recommend for patients, but I say give yourself at least 3 months. Give yourself 3 months to get fit and active and healthy. And then the next most important thing, after you've made a decision, learning about mommy makeovers, after you've said, yes, I think I want to do this procedure or combination of procedures, and I think I found my surgeon, the next most important thing is logistics. And you really have to look at your whole calendar year and identify what are the really important things that are coming up, either personally or professionally or as a family. If you have a big family vacation coming up or a really crazy time at work, that's not the time to have surgery. And you have to consider your spouse and your family and, you know, who else is in your circle, who depends on you. And for stay-at-home moms, I say, honestly, after you have a mommy makeover, you're going to be mom in name only for 3 weeks.
Right.
So if you are mom and if you are the one who takes care of everyone, you need to bring in somebody, either a family member or hire somebody to do most of your activities of daily living that help other people for at least 3 weeks. And if you are not able to do that, either you can't get over the fact of, oh, my God, somebody else is going to take care of my kids, or financially, if it's not feasible, then you wait until your children are maybe a little bit more independent, or you wait until you would be okay with watching somebody else change the diapers for you.
Mm-hmm.
So timing, logistics are everything.
So, Dr. Horton, you mentioned stretch marks, and I know for women that's something that's very difficult to treat. What are kind of your pearls, or what do you tell people who come to your clinic wanting to address stretch marks after having babies?
So the first thing is education, always. And I dispel a lot of myths to my patients, and I say, I practice no BS medicine. Any lotions, potions, creams, lasers, tightening procedures, they're not going to do anything for a stretch mark, because a stretch mark is a scar. It's a tear in the dermis where the epidermis, the top skin layer, remains intact. There's a tear in the underneath part, and it gets filled in with scar tissue. So there's nothing that can make a stretch mark go away except for cutting it out. And a tummy tuck will most likely remove all the stretch marks from the belly button down to where the pubic hair starts. But if you have stretch marks above the belly button or on your thighs or your hips, those are, you know, battle scars from birth. They're, you know, something to be proud of. And you can say, you know, kids, you gave me these, but there's really nothing we can do for that. So if a woman comes in and if stretch marks are the bane of her existence, I say, well, it's either a tummy tuck or Spanx. And Spanx can help with the shaping and the contour, but there's no other machine or potion we can offer you that's going to do anything.
It's obvious, Dr. Horton, that especially being a mother, your patient education for patients interested in mommy makeovers is unparalleled. I'm learning a lot just hearing you talk right now. But I wanted to say, I've seen some patients that come in and expect you to sort of have a magic wand and don't realize necessarily that with a breast lift or reduction or a tummy tuck that the trade-off is a lot of incisions and potentially a lot of scars.
Mm-hmm.
How do you manage those patient expectations, and especially patients maybe that are a little less familiar coming in to see you and a little bit surprised when you draw out the incision that you're going to have to make on the tummy or the breast?
So managing expectations is everything. And I always tell patients, you need to expect to have a really tough recovery. And if you reflect on your procedure afterwards, hopefully you think, you know what, that was pretty easy, because you really have to know what you're getting into. When patients first find us, plastic surgeons, it's often online or maybe it's a referral, they usually go to your website. So I think as a new plastic surgeon starting out or as a patient, you really want to do as much research as possible about the procedure and about the doctor that you're going to see. And then there'll be a phone call to the office, and my patient coordinator, Mary, will always direct the patient back to our website and say, here's your homework. Dr. Horton, you meet with Dr. Horton, read everything you can on breast reduction, everything on tummy tuck, everything about liposuction. Read her blog posts, because I put a lot of educational information out there because I want patients to have a good background before I meet them. On my website gallery, I purposely put pictures of the result at 3 months, at 6 months. When the scars are not mature yet, they look ugly. They look dark. They look pink. They're still swelling. And the patients come in and they go, oh, my God, I was looking at your website and things don't look very good. I'm like, I know. But for the first year, before the scars are mature and when you still have swelling, when you look down and when you look in the mirror, you're going to go, oh, my God, it's like things are really ugly, because that's what you're going to see. After the scars are mature, everything looks fabulous. And I think it's a little bit of false advertising to only put finished results at 1 to 2 years. Also, in plastic surgery, if patients are happy, they might not necessarily come back for their 6 months or 1 year or 2 year or 5 year follow-up. So, you know, we got to get pictures when they're in the office, and especially if they're out of town, that's when we can capture their results, flip results. So when I meet patients, I say, okay, here's the deal. I ask them, have you been on the website? Usually they have. And I say, okay, can you show me other scars? And if all the scars that they can show me on their body are raised and they're still kind of purple or they're a little more darkened, then I educate them, okay, well, that's how you heal. Scarring is really genetic, and we can do our best to optimize the scars, and we often recommend a medical-grade scar product that has SPF 30 sun protection in it to prevent against the sun from tanning the scars darker, but we can only control so much. And I ask them, would you be okay if all of your scars looked as ugly as that one you're showing me on your knee? And if the answer is, I don't know, then I say, okay, well, that's something to think twice about. But if they say, you know what, it would totally be worth it for me to have my breasts back up where they used to be and my tummy flatter and these stretch marks gone. So it's called informed consent because they really need to know about all the potential good, bad, and ugly, including scars. And one of the things is I will always have them talk to other patients, and I think that's really key. When a new patient comes in to see me for consultation, I get to know them really well, and I will give them three patient references. And I'll match them with other patients who remind me of them, similar age, similar body type, similar personality. They talk over the phone, and I say, I don't know what they're going to say to you, but they're going to tell you everything, including the recovery and, you know, how their experience was. And going into it, hearing a real patient's story, I think is really important.
Dr. Horton, that's incredibly informative, and I do know we have to wrap up here in just a second. Just one last point I hope you can sort of maybe elucidate. You mentioned this a little bit earlier in some of the things you were saying. Now I'm a patient. I've done all the things you mentioned. I've optimized. We've talked about expectations, the recovery. I'm now going to try to choose a plastic surgeon, and I want someone who's good, who is certified. And I keep hearing this term board certified. You're internationally board certified in a couple countries, been through the process. Could you just explain to our audience and to patients, what is a board-certified plastic surgeon, and how should I go about choosing one? And then maybe after that, we'll wrap things up here for our audience.
You got it. So I think there's a hashtag, do your homework, and we use it a lot in hashtag plastic surgery for a reason. Nowadays, anyone can put up a website. Anyone can call themselves a cosmetic doctor or even a cosmetic surgeon. And I think as a patient, it's really important that you do your homework and you find out, you know, where do they train? Are they a plastic surgeon? And what boards are they certified by? And are they a member of a reputable professional society like the American Society of Plastic Surgeons? Board certification, I can buy a certification in any board. I get, you know, junk mail all the time, the American Association of this or American Academy of that. And you can buy a certificate for like $150, put a plaque up on the wall. In the United States, the American Board of Plastic Surgery is the highest echelon of board certification in plastic surgery. It means that you have at least 5 years of training, sometimes 6 or 7, in plastic surgery and sometimes some general surgery as well. It means that you have undergone 2 years of post-graduation practice. You've done a written exam, an oral exam, and you've been evaluated by your peers. And every 10 years, you have to renew your board certification. I also am board certified by the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada, which is the Canadian equivalent. And it's because I'm originally from Canada. I got my boards there when I graduated from my residency in Winnipeg. There are many practitioners out there that will advertise that they're board certified, but I think it's really important that you make sure that they are American Board of Plastic Surgery certified, and that is a member of the American Board of Medical Specialties. And sometimes just going on the website of that organization, searching for the doctor's name, will confirm whether they're a member.
Well, thank you, Dr. Horton. This has been incredibly helpful, and hopefully everyone out there listening learned a little bit more from our talk with you. You mentioned hashtags, so I just wanted to give a shout-out to your Twitter handle. If people listening are interested in following you on Twitter, it's at Dr. Karen Horton. And if you're interested in learning more about plastic surgery, you can also follow at PRS Journal. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was great.
Thank you so much.